than 880 kHz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
An-Naqi means the pure, the immaculate, the clean. Al-Hadi means the guide. All the Imams came for guidance.
As-salamu alaykum ya ahla bayt al-nubuwa wa mawdi'a al-risala wa mukhtalaf al-malaik.
Peace be upon the directors of right guidance, the lanterns in darkness, the patterns of piety.
This is Dialogue, an introduction into the most important dialogues and conversations of Imam Ali ibn Muhammad al-Hadi alayhi salam. Imam Ali ibn Muhammad al-Hadi alayhi salam was the 10th divinely appointed Imam, and he was the direct descendant of the Messenger of Allah, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. He was the son of the 9th divinely appointed Imam, Imam Muhammad ibn Ali al-Jawad alayhi salam. He was the divinely appointed trustee. He was the divinely appointed rightful successor, and he was the divinely appointed Khalifatullah for the Muslims. We find that Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam was the only representative at the forefront of the opposition to the rule of the corrupt Abbasid caliphs. He was one of the prominent leaders of the Muslim Ummah who struggled against tyranny and oppression. Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam took a brave and unwavering position against the tyrannical kings of his age. He did not associate with any of them. Rather, Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam preferred to stay away from these tyrannical kings. And therefore, these kings held grudges and an enmity against Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam, and they inflicted him with severity and violence, ultimately leading to the martyrdom of Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam.
Parts of Ziyara text of Jamaatul Kabira, issued by Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As-salamu ala a'immat al-huda wa masabih al-tuja wa a'lam al-tuqa wa dawilluha.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Peace be upon the directors of right guidance, the lanterns in darkness, the patterns of piety, the owners of understanding. the endued with thoughts, the havens of the peoples, the inheritors of the prophets, the perfect specimen, the most excellent call, and the arguments of Allah against the inhabitants of the world, the hereafter and the former world. Allah's mercy and blessings too be upon you all.
وَرَحْمَةُ
Peace be upon the exponents of the recognition of Allah, the centers of Allah's blessing, the essence of Allah's wisdom, the keepers of Allah's secrets, the bearers of Allah's book, the successor of Allah's prophet, and the progeny of Allah's messenger. May Allah send blessings upon him and his household. Allah's mercy and blessings too be upon them.
وَرَحْمَةُ
Peace be upon the imams, the leaders, the guides, the chiefs, the authorities, the defenders, the protectors, the people of the reminder, the men in authority, the left ones by Allah, his select, his party, the case of his knowledge, his argument, his path, his light, his proof. Allah's mercy and blessings too be upon them.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners. It's an honor and a blessing to have you with us. You're listening to Dialogue on IRIB English Radio. So, dear friends, we are talking about the dialogues of Imam Ali ibn Muhammad al-Hadi alayhi salam. Of course, Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam was the 10th rightful successor to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, and he was divinely appointed as the 10th Imam alayhi salam. There's a very interesting dialogue between Imam Ali alayhi salam and a Jewish person who came to see him. Now, Imam Hadi alayhi salam is the one who is relating this story. And one of the things that comes about when we hear stories related by the infallible Imams alayhim salam, it shows us the depth of their divine knowledge. So after the passing of 9 generations, we find that Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam is talking about a story which dates back to 9 generations or so before him. So again, this attests to their divine knowledge. So the story that Imam Hadi alayhi salam relates is as follows, that once a Jewish man came to Imam Ali alayhi salam and said to him, "Tell me about that which is not of Allah, and that which Allah does not have, and that which Allah does not know." Now, of course, it's interesting, many people and many scholars came to Imam Ali alayhi salam and put forth these kind of very complex religious, theological, and philosophical puzzles. In response, Imam Ali alayhi salam said, "What Allah does not know is that he does not accept that he has a child. This refutes what you Jews say about Uzair being the son of Allah. As for that which is not of Allah, it is injustice, because there is no injustice with Allah against his own people. And as for your saying about that which Allah does not have, it is that Allah has no partner." Now, this was really a very complex theological, philosophical puzzle that this Jewish scholar had put forth to Imam Ali alayhi salam. And when he heard these answers from the Imam, He became a Muslim, he declared the Shahada, and he said to Imam Ali alayhi salam that I bear witness that you are the truth, you are from the people of truth, and you have said the truth. This is this beautiful conversation that Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam relates to us. And again, it shows us not only that these divinely appointed imams are connected to this divine knowledge and this divine truth, but also that they have this knowledge that has been given to them by the Almighty Allah. And of course, as it is said in the Holy Quran, if you do not know, go towards those who do know, go towards those who are the masters, and thus we have been guided to go towards the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him, as well as the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam, and the Immaculate Imams. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Dialogue. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.ir/en Call of Islam page, where you can find all of our previous programs and many other great programs as well. Until another episode, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Poreza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Olemi, Kabul.
Shahanabad, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with reporters.
In Gaza, the situation is getting worse, no longer by the day, but by the hour. Incessant Israeli bombardments and its refusal to lift a crippling blockade on the enclave has led to a humanitarian disaster, as described by the ICRC. More than half of the hospitals in Gaza have closed down. The situation is described as intolerable by Iranians who have supported the Palestinian resistance from day one. On the streets of Tehran, people are calling this an unbearable human tragedy unfolding before their very eyes.
We have them in any way, shape, or form that we can. The entire world is watching silently, and even Western countries, and the U.S. in particular, are blatantly supporting the Zionists as they commit these atrocities. The Palestinians are our Muslim brothers and sisters, and we have to do everything we can do to help them.
The most barbaric scenes that one could imagine are coming out of Gaza. I couldn't sleep the night as I saw images of a hospital in Gaza where a young child pulled from under the rubble was all alone crying. He was probably the only one left from his family, just like many other kids there. How can the world do nothing? All countries should call for an immediate ceasefire.
I can't believe that in year 2023 we are witnessing such atrocities. It is completely unbelievable. No one is trying to stop the Zionists. Why? Just because Palestinians don't have blonde hair and blue eyes? Just because they are Muslims? They deserve to be treated this way. We saw how all these countries who are now supporting Israel were vocal when it was all about Ukraine.
Currently, over 9 million Iranians have signed up to go to Gaza to help Palestinians in their fight for freedom.
Does international law mean anything at all, or it is just for some countries to benefit from? History will judge them. Such atrocities are completely unprecedented. I never thought that I would be seeing such images. How can they call themselves humans? How can the rest of the world just sit and watch and do nothing? Everyone should demand an immediate ceasefire and humanitarian help for Palestinians. I would go to help them if I could.
When I see these images, I feel nauseous. All these young, innocent children. Why do they have to suffer? They haven't done anything wrong. They need humanitarian help immediately.
Children, hospitals, schools, according to international law, they should not be attacked. But we see now how they are bombarded every day. There should be an immediate ceasefire. Israelis have absolutely no shame. They call themselves human. Them and all those who support these atrocities. The U.S. The international community now knows the truth about them. Them and their so-called human rights.
Israel waged a war on Gaza on October 7th. At least 11,000 Palestinians have been killed in the strikes, most of them women and children, while 27,000 others have been injured. Tel Aviv has also imposed a complete siege on Gaza, cutting off fuel, electricity, food and water to more than 2 million Palestinians living there.
Iranians are appalled by the images coming out of the Gaza Strip showing the atrocities of the Zionist regime. They are also shocked that Western countries led by the United States are supporting the Israeli regime. Iranians are calling for an immediate ceasefire and immediate humanitarian help for the people in Gaza. Yusumi Shahmadi, Press TV, Tehran.
The first international congress in tribute to the father of Iran's missile program, Hassan Tehran Emghada, was held in the Iranian capital, Tehran. The event also marked his 12th martyrdom anniversary. Senior military and state officials attended the ceremony to honor his lofty status and unique role in the missile program of the country.
Martyr Tehran Emghada opened the chapter of self-reliance in the defense industry and put an end to the thoughts of unwilling people who said we don't have the strength to compete in any industry. He believed that we can and thus became the father of Iran's missile program.
Tehran Emghada, a commander of the Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps, was a key figure in Iran's ballistic missile program. An engineer by profession, he designed the Shahab, Qadr and Sajil missiles with a range of over 1,000 kilometers. Tehran Emghada began establishing Iran's missile program when the country was under attack during the eight-year Iraqi imposed war on Iran. He continued his efforts to boost the program in subsequent years amid difficulties and shortages.
Today, we're at the peak of military power, and we have prepared ourselves for all situations. Today, we're not only at the world level in the field of missiles, but also in drones, space, defense, radar, and other sectors. For such achievements, we have used the model of Shahid Tehran Emghada.
Tehran Emghada was martyred in an explosion in November 2011. The blast came during a missile test at a base in Bidgan, west of Tehran. At least 16 others were also killed in the blast.
Observers say the West's efforts to stop Iran's missile program over the past couple of years reveals the significance of Tehran Emghada's legacy, which serves as Iran's main power of deterrence. Saman Kujuri, Tehran.
After 5 weeks of shocking war crimes, official Western pressure is finally mounting on Tel Aviv. French President Emmanuel Macron admitted in an interview that Israel's actions have, quote, no legitimacy. He added, quote, these babies, these ladies, these old people are bombed and killed, so there is no reason for that. So we do urge Israel to stop. Citizen pressure on Tel Aviv continues with marches worldwide, with over 10,000 marching across Paris.
Macron has to finally extend actual support to the Palestinians and force Israel to accept a ceasefire. This is an attempt at genocide and there are children dying every day.
The deliberate targeting of civilians has left over 11,000 Palestinians murdered, which is more dead civilians in 1 month than in over 1.5 years of Russia's special military operation in Ukraine. Many say that Israel's 75-year-long brutality, repression, and human rights violations are out in the open like never before, and that things will never be the same.
Global opinion has changed because all these videos on Twitter and Instagram make it crystal clear who the aggressor is. And the double standard with Ukraine is also obvious. The French government constantly cried that this was a scandal. but then they remain silent as Gazans die day and night.
Israel has increased their bombing and murder in Lebanon, further sparking the possibility of a major multinational war.
As Lebanese, firstly, we're concerned by the crisis that's happening in Gaza, because Lebanon was previously occupied by Israel in 1982. Beirut was the second Arab capital occupied by Israel. And so we've had the bitter taste of occupation before by the Israelis. Currently, south of Lebanon is under attack by Israel. This conflict can turn into a regional conflict with Hezbollah getting involved, Israel instigating Lebanese parties, the Syrians, the Iranians, the Yemenis into this conflict.
This week, at the first Western-hosted summit on Palestine, Macron said the clear conclusion was that, quote, there is no other solution than a humanitarian pause and then going on to a ceasefire, end quote. Marchers here hope that Washington and Tel Aviv listen to the sound of the global chorus. Ramin Mazahiri, Paris.
Tens of thousands of people have marched through the streets of Cape Town to the office of the provincial administration. They have called on the South African government to support the oppressed Palestinians. The government has downgraded ties with Israel, but protesters want a complete severing of relations.
The West continuously put the narrative through Hamas terrorist group. Hamas is a resistance group for the liberation. In South Africa, when we fought against the apartheid regime, we were called liberators. We were supported when we fought against the apartheid regime. When they do it, when Hamas do it, they call them terrorists.
The march was organized by a broad coalition of organizations, including religious bodies, Jewish groups, political parties, including the ruling ANC, and trade unions. South Africa's government has withdrawn its diplomatic staff from Tel Aviv, but it still plays host to the Israeli ambassador, something people here are not happy with.
This has been described as the mother of all marches. It is probably the biggest demonstration that South Africa has hosted since the outbreak of the latest violence in occupied Palestine. Protesters say they will continue to come out onto the streets until the South African government takes decisive steps to expel the Israeli ambassador.
People must pressure government into action at times. This is but one of those pressures. Cape Townians have shown that they are with the people of Palestine. Their government must take another step further. The government of the ANC must do that.
But even with the inaction of politicians, and while South Africa's Christian party, the ACDP, standing fully behind Israel, increasingly those who follow the faith are seeing for themselves how the Bible is being abused.
The God that I pray to would never condone what is going on in Palestine, and that's why we're here today, to show our support. How do you feel as a
Christian? This was the reaction of these women when I asked about the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's use of biblical scripture to justify the massacres.
I think when it comes to the Bible, I mean, we live by our teachings, but it can be, anyone can take the Bible and twist what God's word says into what they want it to mean. And I think that's exactly what's happening with Netanyahu. I mean, he's basically doing what he wants and trying to justify it by twisting what the scriptures say.
The protests are growing bigger and more diverse. For every Palestinian the American-backed Israeli war machine kills, another voice rises against it. Hassan Sirip, Cape Town.
In a passionate display of unity, people from diverse backgrounds gathered at the rally in a powerful show of solidarity with Palestine. The crowd, carrying Palestinian flags and banners, voiced their condemnation of the actions taken by Israel and the United States, demanding justice and equality for the people of Palestine.
The percentage of children who have died in this conflict is more than that who have died in 2 years of Ukraine conflict. It itself shows that actually it's not a war, it's a genocide going on. They are intentionally killing civilians, they are intentionally killing children. 30% or more are actually women.
speakers at the rally passionately articulated the need for a peaceful resolution to the long-standing conflict and called for an end to the oppression faced by the Palestinian people.
1400 years ago, what happened in Karbala, you are repeating that. My message to Israel is, stop being a genocide, be a human, face the reality. My question is to the United Nations. If it happens somewhere in Europe, how would they react?
Participants expressed their commitment to raising awareness about the plight of Palestinians, highlighting the urgency of finding a just and lasting solution to the conflict.
We cannot turn a blind eye to the relentless oppression unfolding in Palestine. We must bear witness to the suffering of the Palestinian people who face not just physical but emotional and psychological scars.
Similar rallies were held in various cities of the country with a sense of determination and hope as participants pledged to continue their advocacy for the rights of the Palestinian people.
Expressions of solidarity with the oppressed Palestinians during these rallies not only signify a rejection of Israel's atrocities, but also serve as a platform for Pakistanis to voice their discontent with the international community's response to the crisis in Gaza. Nasik Azmi, Press TV, Islamabad.
Those were the...
The organizers said it was going to be big, and they were right. Hundreds of thousands of people showing solidarity with Palestine and united in one thing.
A ceasefire. Stop the genocide, because that's what's happening. We can all see it.
We need to speak up. The world needs to wake up and speak up. This is not okay. This is genocide, and not in our name. That's why we're here today. Not in our name.
It's the biggest march since the Israeli onslaught on Gaza commenced, with hundreds of thousands of people walking hours to the American Embassy in London to condemn U.S. support for the Israeli regime. The protest was organized by Palestinian support groups, Muslim organizations, and peace movements. People of all faiths and no faith, some all the way from Northern Ireland, angry with decades of Israel's brutal military occupation in the occupied territories. Anger at the British government, too, for cracking down on these demonstrations, describing them as hate marches and pro-Palestine mobs.
In the run-up to today's march, the UK's right-wing interior minister, Suella Braverman, tried to get the police to cancel it because it coincides with Armistice Day, commemorating the end of the First World War. A move campaigners and organizers have described as a crackdown on freedom of speech.
Previously, she asked police to make a call on whether even waving a Palestinian flag constituted a racially aggravated offense. Today, as in previous rallies, a forest of Palestinian flags. More than anything, today's march, which harks back to the mass demonstration before the 2003 U.S.-led illegal invasion of Iraq, is aimed at pushing the British state, which during the First World War publicly promised a national home for the Jewish people in its controversial 1917 Balfour Declaration, to pressure Israel to cease its brutal shelling of Gaza. Saeed Pourreza, London.
The Supreme Follow-up Committee of the Palestinian Revolutionary Factions organized a major protest in Yarmouk camp on Friday to support the resistance and condemn the massacre committed by the Israeli regime against defenseless civilians in Gaza.
We assure our people in Gaza that we stand with them resiliently, sharing their wounds and pain. We tell the occupying entity that we will liberate Al-Aqsa Mosque and meet our people in Palestine. We pledge to the resistance front to pray in Al-Quds.
The defeated Israeli occupation is taking revenge by killing children and women and historically destroying humanity.
We, the Islamic Jihad Al-Quds Brigades abroad, vow to enter Palestine and liberate it, as we promise to eliminate Israel.
With unbridled fury, demonstrators burned the Israeli flag, confirming that the resilient resistance front has proven that American threats no longer intimidate anyone. and vowed to defend Palestine with their lives until liberation.
As the Palestinian resistance and Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah have stated, let America come. So we will fight our main and fundamental enemy. We are not afraid of America's intimidations, as it is more cowardly than waging a war.
We call on everyone and every country capable of doing anything to imagine their children thirsty, dismembered, lying in a hospital or buried under rubble.
Protesters called on international community to assume its human responsibility by ending the brutal Israeli aggression on Gaza and lifting the siege imposed on its people.
Syrians and Palestinians gathered today to tell the world that Palestine is a beacon that will never fade, and the people of Gaza will never capitulate despite the tremendous Western support for the Israeli atrocities committed against them. Ibrahim Wahdi, Damascus.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible? By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من این قدم آخر نیست.
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step, brothers, not the last one.
هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين.
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that he may make it prevail over all religions, though the polytheists should be averse.
والذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد موسیقی خاصی دارد روش خاصی دارد اینها چیزایی لازم است.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن. دوری از قرآن. از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran. Quran.
کتاب الله.
In the limelight.
The Israeli military has launched a deadly operation against Gaza's largest hospital, Dar Shifa Hospital. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Iran's Press TV has covered this story and tells us more. The Israeli regime has begun a military operation against Al-Shifa Hospital in the Gaza Strip, which has come to house thousands of patients and displaced people seeking shelter there from an unrelenting Israeli war. Based on intelligence information and an operational necessity, the Israeli military are carrying out a precise and targeted operation against the hospital, the Israeli military said in a statement on Wednesday, 15th of November. Targeting hospitals and killing civilians is considered a war crime. The Israeli regime has been committing these crimes in the besieged Gaza Strip ever since its attack on Gaza started on 7th of October. The Israeli regime has killed nearly 11,500 Palestinians, including more than 8,000 women and children, in Gaza since 7th of October, when it launched a war of aggression against the territory. The Israeli regime has turned Gaza's hospitals into a specific target of its military campaign, alleging that the facilities serve to house Palestinian fighters and their equipment. The Al-Shifa Hospital, Gaza's biggest hospital, has taken the brunt of the Israeli assault on healthcare targets across the coastal sliver, with the Israeli regime claiming that it houses a command center belonging to the Palestinian resistance movement, Hamas. Also on Wednesday, 15th of November, Osama Hamdan, a senior Hamas official, said the Hamas movement had a vast network of underground tunnels in Gaza and did not need to use hospitals as bases. Osama Hamdan, the senior Hamas official, said the goal sought by the occupiers by attacking the hospitals is to displace the Palestinian nation. Osama Hamdan called the Israeli regime's claims about Gaza hospitals naive and indicative of the mental status of a defeated army. Hamas has asked the United Nations to form an international committee tasked with disproving the Israeli claim. On Tuesday, 14th of November, the World Health Organization, WHO, warned that Al-Shifa Hospital was nearly a cemetery and unable to bury dead bodies, as the facility was also tackling power cuts and a lack of fuel. Also, a senior Hamas official has said the Israeli regime, which has brought the Gaza Strip under an unrelenting war, was after causing another Nakba or catastrophe, referring to the ethnic cleansing of Palestinians by the Israeli regime in 1948. Osama Hamdan, a member of Hamas's political bureau, said on Tuesday, 14th of November, the occupying Israeli regime is planning to perpetrate another Nakba before the eyes of the modern world. The Israeli regime has killed over 11,200 Palestinians, including more than 8,000 women and children in Gaza since 7th of October, when it launched its war of aggression against the territory. Osama Hamdan strongly refuted the Israeli regime's claims that Hamas was using Gaza's hospitals as bases, a claim that the Tel Aviv regime has been using to target the healthcare facilities across the coastal sliver. The Hamas official said the Hamas movement had a vast network of underground tunnels in Gaza and it did not need to use hospitals as its command centers. The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has asked the United Nations to form an international committee tasked with disproving the Israeli claim. Osama Hamdan added, the goal sought by the occupiers by attacking the hospitals is to displace the Palestinian nation. Hamdan called the Israeli regime's claims about Gaza's hospitals naive and indicative of the mental status of a defeated army. CNN cable news network has also covered the same story and tells us more. The Israeli regime said it has launched a targeted military operation against the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas early on Wednesday morning, 15th of November, inside Gaza's largest hospital, the Al-Shifa Hospital, where thousands of Palestinian civilians are believed to be sheltering. Conditions inside the hospital, which has run out of fuel and is no longer considered operational, has deteriorated rapidly in recent days amid intense fighting, with doctors warning of a catastrophic situation for patients, for staff and displaced people still inside the hospital. In a statement posted online, the Israeli military said it had begun a precise and targeted operation against Hamas in a specific area of Gaza's largest hospital, Dar Shifa Hospital. It remains unknown how many Israeli military forces have entered the hospital, but Israeli tanks could be seen inside the hospital complex, according to a CNN journalist reporting from the area. "We can see them pointing the guns of tanks towards the hospital. We are not sure whether soldiers are inside the hospital building, but they are inside the medical complex with the tanks," Khader Al-Zanoun, a reporter working for the Palestinian news agency, the Wafa news agency, told CNN. Khaled Al-Zanoun said, "There were gunfire exchanges across the yard, and some of the windows in one of the hospital buildings were shattered." Doctors and journalists at the hospital have described to CNN desperate efforts to keep premature babies alive and limited procedures taking place by candlelight. In a statement on Wednesday, 15th of November, the Israeli military again accused the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas of continuing to use the hospital facility, the Al-Shifa Hospital in Gaza, for military purposes. Hamas has categorically rejected the Israeli claims. A doctor inside the Al-Shifa Hospital told CNN they were given just 30 minutes warning before the Israeli military launched their operation against the hospital. "We were asked to stay clear of the windows and the balconies. We can hear the armed vehicles. They're very close to the entrance of the medical complex," Dr. Khaled Abu Samra told CNN. Hundreds of staff and patients are still inside the Al-Shifa Hospital, according to the most recent reports from the area, along with several thousand who have sought shelter from the Israeli regime's ongoing air raid and ground offensive.
Sheikh Baqir Sharif Al-Qarashi decides to compile.
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosro Shahi.
Shahid Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr. He was born in Kadhimiya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmoud Shahrudi was.
When we look at the works of late Rawzati, we see.
There is a famous sentence from Mirza Khalil Qamarani that he says in Farsi, "Tuhid kalame baraye kalame tuhid."
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in the teacher.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. We welcome to another episode of the program The Teacher, an introduction into the lives and works, the religious and scholar life of the most outstanding Muslim ladies, personalities and dignitaries of Shiite world and Islamic world. I am Ata, the host of this program. Sheikh Rouhani and Sheikh Fadai are the two special guest speakers for today's discussion from the Islamic Hawza of Qom. Sheikh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And Sheikh Fadai, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
Okay, for today's discussion, we want to talk about another outstanding lady of Islam, of the Shiite world, Umm Farwa, the wife of Imam Al-Baqir alayhi salam and the mother of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam. Sheikh Rouhani, give us some details about the early life and background of Umm Farwa.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Of course, Fatima, or Qariba, the other title or name of this lady is also Qariba. She was mother of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, about whom Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam said that my mother, Umm Farwa, was a very true believer, mu'min, and righteous lady. And also Imam al-Sadiq praised and appreciated her a lot in the riwayat.
Yes.
And she was, of course, the wife of Imam Baqir alayhi salatu wasalam. and also mother of Imam Sadiq. She was called Umm Farwa or Umm Qasim as well. And she was among the Ruwat or the narrators of the Ahadith of Ahlul Bayt. As well, this great lady,
yes,
Salamullahi alayha, and of course, A'imma alayhim salatu wasalam, from A'imma alayhim salatu wasalam, riwayat or hadith are narrated about her virtues and fada'il. Mother of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam was the daughter of Qasim. Qasim was the father of this lady, was among the companions of Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam. He was known as the jurist or faqih ahli Hijaz, among the jurists of Hijaz. The father of this lady was. And of course, Umm Farwa, daughter of this man, was also a very great lady. She was buried in Baqi Cemetery. And the mother of this lady was Asma.
Yes.
She was also another great lady in the history.
That's all right. Okay, Umm Farwa, again, the role of the mother in nurturing the children. And the time era of Imam al-Baghir alayhi salam and Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam was really a critical, we can say, period of time for the Shiite world. It is believed that most of the authentic ahadith of the Shiites, isn't it, were narrated from that time. Also, the customs and the conducts were established on that time, Shaykh Fadai. So, was also Umm Farwa a ravi of hadith, a narrator of ahadith or not?
Yes, Umm Farwa was one of the narrators of ahadith from her husband and from some other imams. And here we can see that at that time, the position of people was known by their relationship with imams. Mm-hmm. I mean, the position of Shiite people.
Okay.
As we have a hadith, اعلموا منازل الشيعتنا على قدر روايتنا عنا. If you want to know the position of our Shiites, check how much rivaya and hadith they narrate from us. And of course, just narrating is not enough. Narrating and understanding.
Yes.
And acting toward that.
Sheikh, where to recognize the authenticity of this riwayat? Does it have any method?
You know, there are three sciences about hadith. One of them is Rijal al-Hadith. Okay. Rijal check the people who narrated hadith about their biography, about their beliefs, about their relationship with Imam, whether they were honest or they were liar. And we have another science, Diraya. Diraya check and investigate the chain of that narrator. This is another kind of checking and investigating whether this chain can be authentic or not. Is it possible that these people narrate from each other or not? Whether it connects to Imam or not? And the other one is Fiqh al-Hadith. Fiqh al-Hadith investigates the text of Riwayah, not the Sanad documentation.
Okay.
Just the text, whether this text is real or not, whether in accordance with the Quran or other Riwayats or not. Mm-hmm. So we have three filters as three sciences about Hadith. But anyway, the point is that narrating from Imams used to make a position for Shia, as we have for Umm Farwa in the science of Rijal, and she is known as one of the authentic narrators of Rivaya.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir. La ilaha illallah.
La ilaha illallah. Okay, Sheikh, regarding what Sheikh said regarding the authenticity of the ahadith, and also Umm Farwa, because from one side she was belonging to Qasim ibn Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr. So it is believed that there is a hadith by Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam somehow, for example,
وَلَّدَنِي أَبُو بَكْرَ
Yes, validating Abu Bakr, you know, and belong. He says that I am from the lineage of Abu Bakr. Is this hadith authentic or not?
No, first of all, we should know that in the authentic narrative sources or hadith sources of the Shayu, we never have such a hadith. Mm-hmm. It is the first point.
Okay.
Only in Kashf al-Ghumma, which belonged to Erbali, he narrated a riwayah, this riwayah, but it is mursal. It means that the chain of transmitter, there's no chain of transmission for mm-hmm. this riwayah. Mm-hmm. Because Hafiz ibn Abdul Aziz, who narrates for Imam Sadiq this riwayah, Hafiz ibn Abdul Aziz lived in the 7th century, mm-hmm. while Imam Sadiq والسلام, was living in the 2nd century. So here Hafiz ibn Abdul Aziz directly narrates from Imam who lived 4 or 5 centuries before this man.
Oh.
So, of course, this is completely unacceptable.
So, in the Elm of Rijal
and it is called Mursal. Mursal, yes.
Okay.
Because it has no chain of transmission. So, first of all, in the authentic Shiite sources, we do not have such a hadith. On Kashf al-Ghumma, we have this hadith, but it is from Hafiz ibn Abdul Aziz, who lived in the 7th century. He directly narrates this riwayah from Imam Sadiq, who lived in the 2nd century. So, of course, this kind of riwayat, without any chain of transmission, cannot be accepted. It is about the Shia sources.
That's right.
In the Sunni sources, again, Zahabi narrated this riwayah, but without any documentary, without any chain of transmission. Again, right. that is Mursal, we can say. Mm-hmm. And then in some other Sunni sources like Tahdhib al-Kamal, it is narrated by Hafs ibn Ghiyas. Mm-hmm. But we see that in the chain of transmission, in the sanad of this riwayah, there are lots of doubts. And this riwayah of this Hafs ibn Ghiyas is not accepted by the Sunni scholars based on their own rulings about ahadith. And also Ibn Asakir narrated this riwayah from a person called Ismail. So this Ismail, of course, first of all, we should know that he was so much old at that time that he himself said that my memory is not working properly and whatever I'm saying might not be true. And also in the documents of this hadith of Ibn al-Zakir, there is a person called Mu'adh ibn Muthanna. Mm-hmm. Ahmad ibn Hanbal said that this Mu'adh ibn Muthanna is not adil, is not
That's
just.
Right.
His riwayah is not accepted. You see that even in the Sunni sources, this riwayah is not accepted. It's very, you can say, weak in terms of the chain of the narration or transmitters. That's why, this hadith, وَلَّدَنِي أَبُو بَكْرٍ مَرَّتَيْنِ, cannot be attributed to the Imam correctly based on the authentic sources of Shia and Sunni.
That's all right. Okay, Sheikh Fadai, your final remarks regarding Umm Farwa.
Yes, there is a riwayah from Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam. Mm-hmm. He said, "Kanat ummi mimman amanat wattaqat wa ahsanat, Allah yuhibbul muhsinin." My mother was among the people who believed first, amanat. So the characteristics of Umm Farwa. Mm-hmm. First, she was a believer. Wattaqat. Taqwa. She had the position of taqwa. It means she feared God. It's a spiritual position for the best servants of God. Then, wa ahsanat. Mm-hmm. So, what is that ahsana? It means she was pure, she was clean, she was not corrupted. When we check the verses of Quran, for example, in the Surah Tahrim, verse 12, we recite there, وَمَرْيَمَ أَبْنَةَ عِمْرَانَ أَلَّتِي أَحْسَنَتْ فَرْجَهَا, like the word we have here, the term أَحْسَنَتْ, فَنَفَقْنَا فِيهِ مَنْ رُوحَنَا. When God wants to describe Maryam, as the one of the best servants, he says, Mary, who was clean, was not corrupted, was pure and clean. فَنَفَخْنَا فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحَنَا. Then, because she was pure and clean, we gave her Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
فَنَفَخْنَا فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحَنَا.
Very good. People, so purity is the necessity condition for the mother of an imam.
For the mother of an imam.
Yes. Okay.
We can say purity from sexual corruption is the base for iman.
Oh.
You know, if we do not stop ourselves, our souls, to go for toward this corruption, we cannot claim that we are mu'min and Muslim. Here in this riwayah, amanat wattaqad wa ahsanat.
Mm-hmm.
So the real mu'min is the one who abstained himself from being corrupted by sexual desires.
Yes.
So with that corruption, we never can be a yes. real mu'min.
Yes.
So this is the characteristics of the best servants of God. Being muhsin means, with sa'd in Arabic,
yes.
means pure and
yes.
clean.
As you said, the role of the mother, you know, and the motherhood is really important in parenting a child because, as you said, the pregnancy of the mother of an imam
yes.
had also direct effect in the infallibility of the imam.
And only pure mothers can give
yes.
birth to pure yes. children.
And nowadays there are so many lessons for the mothers. You know, we know that there are some etiquettes for the pregnancy of women. For example, always being in the condition of wudu, reciting the Holy Quran, especially the mothers when they're pregnant. For the child, from the first months of the pregnancy of the women, there are strict and absolute recommendations for women of Islam, what to do and what
yes.
not to do,
you
know, because they have direct roles.
That's sometimes we wrongly believe that if a woman is corrupted,
mm-hmm.
she just harms herself. No, mm-hmm. it's not like that.
That's
she
right.
harms herself and her generation.
That's
generation,
right.
not just one son and one daughter.
That's right.
Just pure mother
yes.
can give birth to pure children generation.
Mm-hmm.
That is a point. We can take it from
yes.
that riwayah.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Fadai and Sheikh Rouhani. Umm Farwa is buried in Baqi Cemetery. May Allah bless the soul of this outstanding lady, the mother of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, wife of Imam al-Baghir alayhi salam, one of the greatest also women of Islam and the narrator of authentic ahadith. It is very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program. The teacher, for more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. Another episode. God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
A teacher, the teacher of teachers. He changed the world for the better and made us better creatures. Oh Allah, we've shamed ourselves, we've strayed from al-mu'allim. Surely we've wronged ourselves, what will we say in front of him?
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
A UN agency says only one hospital is now functioning in the northern part of the besieged Gaza Strip as Israel presses ahead with its attacks on Al-Shifa Hospital. U.S. police attack pro-Palestinian protesters rallying outside the Democratic National Headquarters in Washington.